All right, good morning, my friend. Preacher John out here in Lafayette, Colorado. I just lifted my banner just a moment ago, getting my camera gear set up there. That's my camera. But I wanted to say hello or good afternoon or good morning, wherever you are. And I'm out here at US 287 and South Boulder Road in Lafayette, Colorado. We have Riley there with us. He's standing there. He's right there. He's going to help me out a little bit by prayer, and he's going to walk these corners. But I just wanted to say hello, and I'll put this down, and then I will do a scripture short, and then I'll do today's video and our sermon for the day, all right? So we'll see you in a few moments. I love you. Bye. Good morning, my friend. Welcome to Lafayette, Colorado. Kind of cold, kind of windy, kind of wet. It was snowing earlier this morning. Had to kind of dress up a little bit, put my gloves on to do the video today because it's colder than it looks. So let's begin in prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come together out here on the street corner, out here on the public. We don't have to hide in a building someplace. We can go in a building. We were in a building last night, but now we're out in the street. We're out in the public arena, Lord, and we're going to lift up the name of Jesus, your name, Jesus. We're going to lift you up high, 10 feet above the earth. We thank you, Lord, that when we lift your name up, that we are lifting you up. And Lord, as we lift you up, you said you'll draw all men unto you. As we lift you up, we don't pull you down. We lift you up, Lord. And that's what we did. We lift you up, Lord. And I know you were talking about your crucifixion, but this is a little different because we're not doing that anymore. But anyways, kind of funny I thought that, Lord. But we love you, Jesus, and we dedicate this sermon to you. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you. In your name, Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen. So when I first started the video, I was facing the other direction. But now the sun is behind me, so it's going to kind of come and go. We've got wind, and we've got rain, sleet, kind of snowy type stuff. So this is what we've got to work with. Remember, I'm outside, so this isn't a green screen. I mean, we're really outside, and this is Highway 287, and I'm at lots of different places on 287. On the south end of 287, as it goes into Boulder-Denver Turnpike, I'm in Broomfield, and then I'm in Lafayette, Longmont. So one day here, not too long, I'll be in Erie, another town here on 287. Then I'll be all the way up in Loveland, and then come April, I'll go all the way to Fort Collins, and I'll be up in Fort Collins come April. And that's the northern part of the cross that lays over the state of Colorado, all right? Let me take these gloves off, because it's kind of hard to handle what I got to do here. So what I want to do is a little different than what I plan on doing, because I was going to teach on the fire of God, but this morning the Lord says, I want you to talk on what you talked on the class this morning, and that's fasting 9. We've got my notes right here, you can see it, and we're going to try to go through some of these things. I don't know how it's going to work. It's a lot different out here than it is in the class. It's a lot different, I guarantee it. And so we're talking on fasting because Brother Brent and I are, I'm calling him my church pastor, we're fasting a 75-day fast, 75 days. And in that 75 days, 40 of those days are without food and really minimal water. 40 days of fasting, just like Jesus did, Moses did, and many other prophets and ministers of God have done. And then we're taking that 40 days and we're splitting them into four different sections, 10 days each section. And then prior to each 10 days, we do 7 days of preparation. We do that the Daniel fast, and that is in Daniel chapter 1, where he stopped eating regular everyday food and began only eating pulse, which are seeds grown in a pod, embryos of plants. Those are seeds like split green peas, lentils, some rice, and some forms of beans, not all forms. So it's like the legume family, but not all legumes are pulse and not all pulses are legumes. It's, you have to kind of look at it. There's about a dozen different kinds. And so I've been eating that during the 7 days and preparing for the 10 days. And we'll do that all the way through till April 11th, all right? So it's very noisy out here because I'm on the street, all right? Understand that. So I might have to talk kind of loud, and I apologize if it sounds like I'm yelling at you, because I'm not really, but I can't hear myself think when I get out here. So the lesson today is on fasting in regard to trust. Fasting in regard to trust. And let me go over the definition of fasting just briefly. It's in Genesis. It's when God shut the wombs of Amalek's wives, and they couldn't bear any male children, so he fast closed their wombs. And that's the definition of fast. Fast means to close. To close your mouth, to shut down, to isolate, to close off all those things into your life. Because you want your flesh to decrease, you want your spirit to increase, right? That's John the Baptist's ministry. His ministry was to decrease, Lord's ministry was to increase, all right? And then overtake the decrease. You decrease until there's nothing left. And in fasting, you take the body that you have, that you live in, and you decrease it forcefully by fasting. Fasting is a forceful action that you do. It's not just saying, oh, I'm not going to do that, or make some kind of a New Year's resolution, or maybe go to the gym, or maybe change your diet or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. It is a forceful act of faith in giving up those things that you think your body needs. Your body really only needs water. You can live for a very long time only on water. That's proven by people who have been out in the ocean and out in the different, you know, wilderness and stuff, survival type things. They found that out. But if all you had is food and no water, you would die shortly. So water is the most important, and probably 75% of our body, they say, is made up of water. So water is important, all right? But you can decrease that. Allow your, now your spirit doesn't fast. You know, there are, I've heard teaching about fasting your spirit, thinking that that would grow your spirit. That does not work. That's a lie from Satan. You feed your spirit the bread of life. The bread of life. You feed it. Every day, you feed it. Now, what kind of bread that you're reading is up to you. Everybody has a different Bible. So what bread you're reading, maybe somebody's, I don't know. But anyways, it's what kind of bread are you reading? But we're talking about the manna that came from heaven, right? The Word of God that came from heaven to earth. And eventually it created the Word of God, right? And then we're talking about the word trust. I came up with the word trust because last night I was, before I went to bed, I got church last night, went to bed. Before I went to bed, I was praying the Holy Ghost in my evening prayer. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk on tomorrow? Because I don't know what else to go on. I feel like I've covered every topic on fasting. And then he asked me a question. What's the number one problem that my body has? What's the number one problem my children have? I said, oh, that's easy, Lord. That's what I said. I said, that's easy, Lord. That's trust. Trust. That's the number one challenge, number one problem, number one obstacle that a lot of people have in serving Christ is they just lack trust. They have trust, but it's not enough to really overcome a lot of satanic situations that come in their life. Trust is something that has to grow within you. It's not automatic. And fasting can help you grow that trust. Fasting, because it diminishes the outside. If it diminishes the outside, then the inside must grow. That's just the way life is. Push one down, the other one comes up. Push that down, the other one comes up. It's just, that's life, right? Turn on the light, it's not dark anymore. Turn the light off, it gets dark again. It's real simple. So when you shut off the eating portion of your body that feeds it, then your spirit must take over where it's weak. Remember, when we are weak, he is strong. But that can also be applied when our flesh is weak, our spirit is strong. That's how you grow your spirit, by lessening the influence of your flesh, the world around you, all right? So trust, fasting in regard to trust. So our base text is, I picked out, due to the first time it was mentioned, with the word rock. I wanted rock to be in there, because that points us back to the rock, which is Christ Jesus, our foundation. And so rock and trust, we're in the same verses here in this verse here, in 2 Samuel 22:3. And that's what we're going to, that's our base text. We'll start there, 2 Samuel 22:3. And it's also what I did my scripture short on, 22:3. 2 Samuel 22, verse 3. Boy, my hands are cold. Welcome to Colorado. If you don't see a video, street service means I didn't come out. Doesn't mean I didn't come out because of bad weather. It was beautiful yesterday, but I didn't come out because I wasn't able to. So weather does not detract me. It's just my physical ability. 2 Samuel 22:3, it says here, the God of my rock, there's the rock, one Christ. The God of my rock, in him will I trust, right? Trust in the Lord. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. My salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. What I noticed there, that there's a lot of me's and a lot of my's in there. But understand, when Samuel wrote this, if this is Samuel writing this, he had already learned how to fast. He had already learned how to decrease his body, to allow his spirit to grow. Back when he was a boy, when Eli was training him. Very important prophet of God, Samuel. And it also points to the importance of trust, because trust is the key factor in here. But the word my, me, I'm relating to that as fasting. You have to fast. God's not going to fast for you. Your next door neighbor is not going to fast for you. Your best friend's not going to fast for you. Your husband, your wife is not going to fast for you. That's why the Bible says to mind your own business. Tend to your own business. And your business right now is to learn about fasting and prepare yourself to go into fasting if you want to. You don't have to. It's up to you. Oh, that wind. Hang on. Let me zip a few things up here. Yeah, man. All right. So let me go to this verse one more time. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. Okay, trust. It's a action that is, you can either doubt or you can trust. Here, he's telling you that the trust in his life is in every element of his life. Every part of his life, he has trust in God. That happened because he diminished, he fasted his temple, his flesh, and his spirit grew mighty and strong and powerful. Right. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and my horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. Can you see the trust that's in Samuel? If this is Samuel speaking, it doesn't really matter, doesn't, because it's the word of God speaking, actually. Really? So if you hear that, I hope. It's the word of God speaking to you. Not just Samuel or whoever he's talking to or whoever he's quoting here. It's the word of God speaking to you. So when people say, oh, you took that out of context, not necessarily so, because it's the word of God. You don't take the word of God away from the word of God. When you do that, you build a cult. You build a satanic following. We don't do that. We leave, let the word of God stay with the word of God. Amen? So that verse, I'm kind of going kind of fast here because it is windy and cold. I don't know if I'm coming through or not. So that verse goes alongside and with 22, not just 3, but we'll add a 1 to it, 22:31. So 22:31 are the two verses we put together for our key text. Verse 31 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Can you see the difference there? Here he's talking about the Lord. There he's talking about himself. My this, and me this, and my this, and my this, and my this, and my that. But here, he covered that already and began speaking and edifying the Lord God Almighty. Verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Think about that. If his way is perfect, then why are you trying to figure out another way of doing it? It's already perfect. It can't be better, more perfect. It can't be more perfect than Jesus. So why are you trying to figure out another way of doing it? That's when Paul talked about, you can't build it on another person's foundation. You can't build another foundation. Because that becomes another Jesus. Another Jesus. And that's what happens. They want to make God even more perfect. That's why Satan said, hath God said? Right in the very beginning, the first question in the Bible, hath God said? So he was questioning that God was a perfect God. And that question gave doubt and broke the trust that Adam and Eve had in God. Because when you start questioning God, you start breaking down your trust. You start breaking it down. Because in those type of questions are doubt. When you look at the life of Jesus and his ministry, you'll see that he knew when somebody was asking a real question or a question that was doubt, doubt-filled. He didn't answer those doubt-filled questions. Same thing happened with Mary versus Zechariah. Zechariah asked a question that was real similar to Mary, mother of Jesus. Both were similar questions. Not totally exact, but similar. But Zechariah, the priest, the almighty priest, asked in doubt. And some people lift up their preacher, their pastor, their whatever. They think they know it all. They don't know it all. They're just like us. They're just calling to do a different job, a different work. Keep them in prayer, though. But Mary, little girl, what, 15, 16, 17 years old? I don't know how old she was. She says, how's that going to happen, Lord? That's an honest, sincere, heartfelt question. And Gabriel told her the story, how it's going to happen. But in Zechariah, he said, because you doubt it, you're not going to be able to talk for 9 more months. I mean, doubt's very serious. You've got to come against doubt. That doubt comes in your flesh. That flesh is how it hinders the move of God in your life. And I'm talking about trust. So that doubt hinders your trust in God. And that hurts everything in your life. Everything. It affects every element of your life. Trust. Trust. So important. All right? So these two verses, I'm going to show this here. These two verses drop into this little box right here. I've got to have a section. We have 1 Timothy here. We have Mark 10:24 here in the middle. Then I have 1 Timothy. So these two verses kind of go together with this in the middle. This is how I'm structuring the Word of God. All right? So let's go to 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy is somewhere in the New Testament. 1 Timothy, oh there it is, 6 verse 17, all right? So remember, we're talking on the word trust in regard to fasting. How can I increase my trust? You increase your trust by fasting. And you fast by shutting your mouth off. Turning it off, taping it shut. No more food in this mouth, not for a while. All right? Verse 17. Let's see what it says. I forgot what it says. 17, there it is. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust, there's the word trust, in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So you see right there, there's two types of riches. The riches of God and the riches of the world. Now you have to make a choice. Which richness do you want? Do you want both riches? That's what a lot of Christians are trying to do. They want the riches of the world, but they also want the riches of God. And they're struggling. I see that in our church. They don't want to give too much away, but they want all the riches of God. But they don't want to give too much away because they want the riches of the world. That's sad, but that's life. I've been there too. I know what that feels like. I know exactly, but I don't do that anymore. I stopped that years ago. Everything belongs to God. I seek only after the riches of God. That's it. Only His riches. Right? I don't care about any of the riches on earth. There's nothing on this world that I want, desire, hope for, plan for. None of that stuff. There's no vacation that I'm planning. There's no new career. There's no family I want. There's no nothing. There's no place on the world I would rather go than heaven. That's the only place I want to go. I'm going to go someplace. It's heaven. Other than my ministry. Okay? So, you look at this verse one more time, 6 verse 17. It says here, charge them that are rich in this world, all right, that they be not high-minded. When you're rich in this world, your thoughts begin to think that you're better than other people. You become high-minded. And when people get so high-minded, they get too high up, they have the notion that they can literally bring the thoughts of God down to earth. Yeah, how about that? The only way to get that way is you become too high-minded. When somebody's trying to bring the riches of God to earth, bring God down, let's say, immediately you know that they are living for the riches of this world. The riches of this world. And not for the riches of God. Riches of the kingdom of heaven. It's really important. That's why fasting is so important. Because fasting will cut that high-mindedness out. It'll bring it up short. It'll cut the power source off. It'll unplug it. It'll turn the switch off. And your high-mindedness will begin to deflate. Because that's what it is. It's just inflated ego. That's all it is. Inflated ego. Look at me. I'm so big and high and mighty. I'm so rich. I'm so big, I can never fail. Too big to fail. How many mega international corporations have failed when they stated too big to fail? I was around when Long-Term Capital fell. They were too big to fail because they had every brain trust in the world figuring out the options market. They knew exactly how the options operated. The Long-Term Capital came crashing down. How about that? Biggest, most high-minded scientists, mathematical, financial scientists in the world formed Long-Term Capital. There was no higher thinking, no higher-minded people. They're not around anymore. God takes people down many notches sometimes. He'll humble you. If you don't humble yourself, God's going to humble you. That's why fasting is so important. Fasting humbles you. It brings you down. It lowers you. But if you don't do that, eventually there'll be a day coming. If you don't do that, God's going to do it for you. And when God does it for you, you're going to know it. I ain't getting you. You're going to know it. But by that time, you're so way up there that it's a long ways to the bottom. Very long ways. Charge them rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. See, they're trusting their riches. How do you get away from trusting your riches? You fast. By fasting, you break that trust that's false. That's a false trust. False trust. But it feels real. See, that's the problem. You're functioning by your flesh. So it seems real, it feels real, and everybody else is doing it. See, that's why I say pull away. Come away from people and all your friends and family and just get away for a day or two. Take a vacation from the people around your life. Instead of going and playing with everybody, pull away just you and the Word of God and the Bible, the Word of God and God Himself. And just talk to God. Spend a few days. Go get a motel room. Just you and God. Turn the television. Put a carpet over throw the television out the window. I don't know. Just get rid of it. Don't turn that thing on. That thing's a wicked thing. Go on the mountains or something, or get in the car, whatever. But go enjoy yourself, right? With the Lord, right? So here we go. Charge the world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, in the living God, in the living God. You want to trust in the living God. And that's why I say you have to feed your spirit, feed your spirit, feed your spirit, feed your spirit, okay? All right. The living God, whom giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So when you begin to fast, God will enrich your spirit. And that begins Him pouring in the riches of heaven that will fill your spirit. All right? And now when your spirit is richly, richly blessed, I guess you could say, there's a lot of things that you can do. So when you come out of that fast, great things are going to happen. When Moses came out of his fast, what was the greatest thing that happened to mankind? We got the Ten Commandments. That's pretty cool, right? What are one of the greatest things, biggest events that happened to mankind when Jesus came out of his 40-day fast? He was tempted of Satan. Yeah. It didn't happen during the 40 days that I'm aware of. It happened after the 40 days, 41 days. I'm supposing. And you see that throughout the Bible. A lot of people will fast 40 days and something magnificent will happen on the other end of the 40 days. So the 40 days of fasting becomes you preparing yourself by the work of God, by the power of God, to do a work to be prepared to be ready to do that work. I hope that makes sense. That's really hard to say sometimes, but there's a lot going on here, really. So we're still talking on the word fasting in regard to trust, all right? So then let's go to Mark 10:24. We'll go back to Mark now. Mark 10:24. 10:24. All right, 10:24 says, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered and saith again, and saith to them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? How hard is it? It's really hard. It's nearly impossible. In fact, it is impossible. Because your trust is in the world. Fasting cuts that off. Fasting changes that dynamic greatly. All right? So then let's go over to, that goes alongside Luke 18, 9. Luke 18, verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. They trusted in themselves. So you yourself become a rich person. Maybe not financially, but you become rich in a healthy way. Maybe you started working out at the gym and you started in a diet program. You bought yourself some new clothes and now you begin trusting in yourself. You maybe bought a new car and now you're strutting around in your new car because you're trusting in yourself. Woe is you. A storm is coming in your life, I prophesy. Now you can stop that storm by humbling yourself. So Lord, this is not mine, this is yours. You can go on a fast. Fast your car. Park it in the garage, park it on the street, park it someplace. Take the bus, hitchhike to work. I dare you. I hitchhiked all over the country. I got over 30,000 miles of hitchhiking. I've hitchhiked to Alaska and back. I've hitchhiked coast to coast, border to border. I've hitchhiked all over. I've hitchhiked in many different countries, probably 6 or 7, 8 different countries I've hitchhiked in. The thumb. Oh, I can't hitchhike. Well, take the bus. Call a friend up and give me a ride to work. I'm fasting my car. I don't know. Quit making your car your idol. Your God. Polishing it on a Saturday afternoon, making sure it shines. What does everybody say when they polish their car? It's probably going to rain now that I washed my car. Probably going to rain. That's the same way with your body. You polish your body, it's going to rain on that body. You're going to get it all muddy and dirty. So polish your spirit. So when the rain of God comes, it nourishes your spirit. It's up to you. All right? So those two go right here in the middle. So let's go to 1 Timothy, back to 1 Timothy verse 4. 1 Timothy verse 4 now. 1 Timothy verse 4. Hallelujah. Come on, Timothy. Verse 4. Or chapter 4. It's somewhere. Lost it. It's here somewhere. Sorry. My hands are so cold. 1 Timothy. Sorry. Whoops. Going the wrong way. And they're great. All right, 1 Timothy. Now, so that's 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Oh, there's 4 right there. Oh, it's windy. That's just having trouble turning my pages. I'm outside. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10 says this. It says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So it's right there in the first part. For therefore we both labor and suffer. When you are fasting, you are suffering. I guarantee it. Not a lot, but a little bit. But enough to really make things uncomfortable. Put my gloves on. All right? So it's really important to understand what fasting can do in your life and that it's not easy. That's why you need God's help. You pray and ask God how to fast. He's already commanded us all to fast. Everybody's supposed to be fasting. Jesus said, when I leave, everybody will begin fasting. But while the bridegroom is here, we don't need to fast. That's why when Jesus comes, we don't need to fast, because we're with the bridegroom. That's what happened to the disciples. They didn't fast while the bridegroom's there. They didn't fast for 3 years. They fasted their fasting. I don't know. All right. So verse 10, one more time. It said, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. You're going to be reproached if you're fasting. People are going to come down at you, especially when you do long-term fasting. They're going to see you turn gray. You're going to see their tongue turn white. You're going to see your body begin to shrivel, lose weight. You're going to see yourself diminishing, because that's what you're doing. You're diminishing your body, and people are going to get upset at you. People are going to get mad at you, and people think you're doing something wrong because you're not feeding your flesh. Thank you very much. God bless you. That's all you say. Thank you. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for caring for me. God bless you. Have a great day. That's it. People don't understand, because most people don't operate by their spirit. They operate by their flesh. You can see it in the words that they say. You can hear it in the tone of their voice. They operate by their flesh. It's all about the flesh. They don't want to fast. I got to feed this thing. What's for dinner? Yeah. It's all about food. Food becomes their God. They bow down to their food. They bow down to their kitchen. They bow down to the refrigerator. They wake up in the middle of the night to go worship their refrigerator. I need a snack. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I need to make a sandwich. Right? All I gotta do is look at people. Yeah. I stay pretty trim and clean, not because I'm a slim person, but I've gained weight before. I was 171 pounds one time. 171 pounds. I'm about a 138 right now. Can you imagine me being 171 pounds? Yeah. I have to watch my weight too. Everybody has to watch their weight, especially as you get older. Especially as you get older. I mean, it comes on like lickety split. It's amazing. Eat a cookie and all of a sudden the cookie's sitting right here. How'd that get there? Well, that's that cookie you just ate, John. Wow. And I ate the whole box. Yeah, that's what's the problem. That's right there. That's why I'm fasting. All right. So that's enough of that. So let's go. Got the wind in my face here. Got the wind in the Bible. So now I've got this structure being built here. You can see that right there. So this structure is being built with the Word of God. And we went through this. We went through the base text here. We went through this block in the center, kind of the heart. Now we're going through these little air sections here with this T in the middle, which dovetails into Isaiah. So this is Psalm 34 and Proverbs 30. So let's go to Psalm 34, 8. Psalm 34, 8. Psalm 34, 8. 34, 8. Boy, it's really hard to turn the Bible with gloves on. But you need them. 34, 8. How's that storm? It's not here yet. Riley took off. He's out praying someplace. He's marching around all this area praying. God wants him to pray. God brought him out here to pray. So he's out interceding. See, he took his lunch hour, his middle of the day, to serve God. That's a magnificent man right there. You ought to listen to watch Riley Shepherd grow. He's going to become a great man of God. He stays on the track he's going. Amazing things are going to happen in his life because he's fasting his day. He's taking the time instead of doing what he normally does during the day, and now he's walking these corners, walking down there, praying for this whole section. I'm going to be interceding for the whole city of Lafayette, and he's praying for this whole region here. That's amazing. What is everybody else doing? You know what they're doing. Lunch hour. They're eating. They're in the restaurant. All the restaurants are full. Yeah, look at Good Times. Parking lot's full. Got three parking places left. Come on down to Good Times. Fill the place up. All right. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, thought I was there. I'm not there. Dropped my paper. My little notes. 34, verse 8 in Psalm. Psalms 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Can you see the words taste? Can you see the word taste and see that the Lord is good? He's telling you to taste the bread of life. Taste it and see how good it is. Nourish your spirit with that bread of life. Yeah, the Word of God. And drink that water, that pure water that flows through the from the throne of God. That's real eating and drinking. That feeds your spirit. Drink of the water of the Word of God. Eat the bread of the Word of God. That's the same with communion. When Jesus said, we're to have the Lord's Supper, we take the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of Christ. We feed our spirit. It's really amazing. A lot of things going on in fasting. Your mind will become clearer. It won't become dull, it'll become clearer. It comes a little foggy occasionally. And I ain't kidding about that. Your mind does get a little foggy sometimes. But your spirit, it seems like you can just see things and hear things, understand things you couldn't hear before. Because your body is quieted down. But it takes 4, 5, 6 days of no food, no drink before your body is quiet enough that you can hear the still, small voice of the Lord in your spirit. 34 verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yummy. Good, good, good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. See? So when you fast the outside, you're actually building up the trust factor inside of you. That trust gets bigger and bigger and more. Before you know it, you can walk on water. Maybe not today, but maybe one day. All right, then right beside that is Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 5. We'll go over to that. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Oh, okay, hang on, I got my gloves here. Proverbs 30, verse 5, here we go. Proverbs 30, verse 5, let's see what it says. All right, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. So you see it right there, every word. That's what we feed upon, every word. So that is a real funny thing in today's world, because a lot of people have different words or different Bibles. So if the bread of, so one, if this King James is a certain type of bread, whatever bread that would be, then somebody else's Bible, that's the New American Standard Bible, NASB, is another bread, because it teaches another gospel. It teaches something different because it uses different words. And words are the staff of life. Words are the bread of life, the staff of life. Words. But what words are you using? Remember, the power of our tongue. It controls life and death, our tongue. The words that come out of our mouth. I'm speaking now. You can't see it because words are spiritual. So are you sowing pure spiritual seed, or are you sowing dark, corrupted seed? Because seed is being sowed in you every day. You may not believe that. Doesn't matter what you believe in this sense, because the Bible, let me rephrase that. The Word of God is true, it says right there. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Verse 5, where's that there? Every word of God is pure. It says here, the word is a shield. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. All right? The in Him is the word. That's Revelation 19:13. The word of God. That's the word made flesh. We take in the word. That's the Lord's Supper. We take in the word, the body and the blood of Christ. The water, the liquid, the fluid that fills our spirit. Really very important. And all this dovetails and hooks into the last verse here, and that's Isaiah 12 verse 2. Isaiah 12 verse 2. All right. Very noisy out here. Sorry I'm yelling so loud. I can't even hear myself talk. I hope I'm coming through all right. Isaiah chapter 12 and that verse 2. Let me get there. These gloves. Am I there yet? I don't know. Am I there yet? No, not there yet. Hang on. They're all stuck together now. Here we go. There we go. Well, what's going on here? Well, I can't see. There it is. Couldn't separate it. Hang on. I'm outside. Put this glove on, pick my paper up. It doesn't blow away. All right, so Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 is our foundational scripture that anchors to the rock, right? Word connects to word. The word of God connects to the word of God. The word of God, lowercase, connects to the word of God, the uppercase, Jesus Christ, who spoke his word into existence, into this Bible. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Hope you can see there, right there, how important the Bibles that you read, because a lot of modern Bibles have taken the name of God out, Jehovah. They've taken it out of the Bible. So be alert to that. Be alert to that. So can you see how important this is? Because it goes right back into salvation. The reason Jesus came is to save you. If you're not saved, my friend, why not? This is the day of salvation. Today is now is the day that you're going to receive Christ if you want to believe on the Lord. And how do you do that? You pray. You shut your brain off, turn your heart on, and open your mouth and say, Jesus, save me. I pray, Jesus, if you're real, here I am. That was my prayer. Almost 50 years ago. Come May, it'll be 50 years that I've been serving God. Got called 2 weeks later after I got born again. It's very important to know what's in the Word of God. Because if you don't know what's in the Word of God, then you really don't know how to operate correctly, properly in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is a manifestation of the Word of God. The Word of God is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. So when you live in the Word of God, you're living in the kingdom. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Right? The kingdom of God is at hand. It's in my hand. This isn't the kingdom of God, but this is inside the kingdom of God. It's like our door, our entrance into the kingdom of God. A lot of things are important. That's why Satan wants to open up many, many, many doors, which is many, many, many different Bibles. And those Bibles are going to hurt you. Not today, maybe not tomorrow, and it might not even be you. But those seeds, that corrupt seed gets sown into your life. And maybe they'll come up 50 years from now in your children's children. Yeah, that's why generations fall. Because the Word of God is not passed from generation to generation. Because the Word of God is not so deep inside their spirit. It's not so deep in their spirit. So when they have children upon children upon children, all that gets diluted. And you have corrupt seed at the end. So children of the third generation oftentimes fail. Oftentimes fail. Oh well. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can come out in this cold, in this wind, in this rain, and we can still preach the gospel. We'll still be able to lift the banner. We'll be able to be out here for a couple more hours. We thank you, Lord, that we can come out and serve you with all of our heart, with all of our body, Lord, because we're fasting our body. We've diminished and decreased our body. Day number 26, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. And we praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor for what you've done here on this sermon. And I thank you that you're touching every soul. In your holy name, Jesus, we praise you and we thank you. Amen and amen. Wow. Amen, right? God bless you, man. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to put this away and lift my banner up. God bless you. I love you very much. Take care, all right?